Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We are continuing this series entitled Building His Church, and we have embarked upon looking at the character, the life of the Apostle Paul. He is now Saul of Tarsus, and we just looked last week and the road to Damascus experience. Thank you. And this morning we're going to look at what happens after which. Let me read for us, please, follow along in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 10. It says, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And a seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on his name, on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as you came, has sent me you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the occasion to open your word, to read your word, to hear your word preached, and yea, even as Paul opened the service, to live your word in our everyday lives. Father, I would ask and pray thus that you would help our hearts to be open and receptive to what is being preached. I would ask and pray that you'd help me to be yielded to your Holy Spirit to preach, thus saith the Lord, to preach what the Scriptures say, make the application, and yea, Lord, ultimately for your glory and for the equipping of the saints and for the perfecting of the believers unto the building up of the body of Christ. Lord, there may be some sitting here or listening through our live stream who are unable to do all that because they have not yet entered that relationship with you. They have not yet been born again. They have not been saved. They're still under the condemnation of hell, and the wrath of God abides upon them. Would that be a realization today so that they would repent from sin and come to Christ to be born again? That they might know life and life everlasting. Lord, there may be believers here who may have distractions, may have discouragements. Maybe there's trials or troubles or tribulations. Lord, I pray that the word of God would minister to those hearts and bring about the necessary changes and adjustments that need to be made. And Father, we thank you and praise you that your Holy Spirit's presence and working is in us and with us, and may it be through us not just as we're sitting here, but as we go out into our daily routines. And so, Father, we do pray also that you would preserve our freedoms to hold services like this, to witness and to minister. And I pray that you would grant our leadership on all levels in our government. Grant them your help, that they may do that which is in the best interest of the people. And, Lord, as they would recognize their ministers unto you, as it says, Paul writing in Romans. And then, Lord, we lift up to you and pray for Israel in the midst of all that's going on, and ask that your guiding hand would be upon them, that evangelistic efforts would be effective, lost souls be saved. They'd realize Messiah has come, and he's coming again. Oh, Lord, help us to realize that too and live that way. Every single day as if our Savior is coming. All to the praise of your glory. Taking advantage of every opportunity to serve and minister. Occupying until you come. And all this we pray with thanksgiving and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Saul, later known as Paul, humanly speaking, was the least likely to be saved. He actually calls himself the chief of sinners. You know people like that? Some people you think are beyond hope, lost causes, would never get saved. Well, this changed for him greatly when Jesus Christ personally visited, confronted him as he neared the city of Damascus. Remember, he was on a mission. He received authorization. He received basically arrest warrants to go into the synagogues and use their help and gather together those who were believers in Jesus Christ to bring them arrested back to Jerusalem and stand trial and perhaps even be executed, martyred. If you really didn't know what happened to Saul, on his entrance into Damascus, and the Lord told you to go to minister to such a person like him, what would you say? Well, that's a hypothetical situation, but it comes close to home where it may happen today. It may happen this week. Maybe it happened to you last week. Someone who would be a least likely person to minister unto is whom the Lord put into your path for the express purpose of ministering with encouragement or evangelism or counsel or prayer or just a comforting word. While it should be natural for us to take advantage of that opportunity through the Spirit of God's working, it's not always happens. You may wonder about such an opportunity. Well, I pray and trust you be prepared, because it may be an opportunity presented to you today, tomorrow, maybe on your job, maybe to a neighbor, a family member, someone you may have never met, a perfect stranger. So the proposition, the sermon in a sentence this morning, would you willingly minister to whomever the Lord directs you? Whoever it is the Lord puts in your path? You know, when we pray on our Wednesday nights, in our prayer list, on the far right-hand column and opening it up, we do pray for each of us to have courage, confidence, compassion. And this is evangelistically speaking, but it can be in any regard to ministry. And we pray for those in this community who are seeking the truth of salvation. Would you cross our paths? Those who are searching for a church. Perhaps those who need ministry. Perhaps those who are discouraged. Perhaps those who are troubled. Maybe somebody in a tribulation, a trial. Lord, could you use me to help minister to that person? That was Ananias. And that should be us. How do we do this? Well, let's take a look at this narrative and see three different elements that would help us to be like him. First of all, we see Ananias. He gets a specific assignment from Jesus, from Jesus himself. We see this in verses 10 through 12. Now, look at the description of this man, first of all. And he is an available minister. He's available for the opportunity that comes upon him. How do we see that? A certain disciple. Disciple comes from the verb which means to learn key facts, to gain factual knowledge as someone learns from experienced, and often implies a reflection in coming to realize. So this is not just an academic, it's a practical, purposeful. And denotes a learner, a pupil, a student, indicates loyal attachment to someone. It appears some 264 times throughout the New Testament, exclusively the gospel in the book of Acts. Turn over to chapter 22 of Acts. You're going to see a little further description of him that helps kind of portray his availability, his sensitivity, his preparedness, if you will. In Acts chapter 22, we have the Apostle Paul recounting the exact episode he just had experienced here. And he says, verse number 12. Well, let me go back to verse number 11. It says, "And when I could not see," this is Paul speaking later, "the glory of that light being led by the hand to them that were within with me, I came into Damascus, and one, Ananias, a devout man," look at that word, devout, "according to the law, having a good report," look at that phrase, good report. So he was a certain disciple, but he was also known as being devout. The word devout literally means take hold of what is good. It means he was a God-fearing man. He showed a godly respect for God things. Here in this passage, the things of the law. He had a good report. The verb here is giving us our English word martyr. And it just simply means a testimony, a witness. It's the same word that is used back in Acts chapter 6 when they were selecting those who would help care for the widows. And that situation there of those who have a good report. It's used of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a man who had a good report, meaning he had a good solid testimony. By the way, that's one of the qualifications for a pastor. He has to have a good report of them who are without. Meaning his testimony has to line up with the scriptures. So when you look at this man, he was just a certain disciple. Let it be understood, this is the only time in all of the scriptures that this man is ever mentioned. We don't know much about him other than he was a disciple, lived in Damascus. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a special assignment for him. His availability is predicated on the fact that he was a disciple. He was loyally attached to Jesus Christ. He was engaged in doing well, doing good, doing the things of the Word of God. And that factored into his being a public testimony. So when people saw his life, they saw Christ in him. You know what that means? That could be you. I mean, when you think about Saul of Tarsus and somebody going to minister to him, he could have sent Philip. At this point, Philip is somewhere up around the Caesarean region, which isn't too far if you head further north up into Syria, into Damascus. He could have sent Peter and John. Remember, they came up to Samaria to kind of check out what was going on there. He could have sent somebody, but he came to Ananias. Someone who we would consider a common, ordinary disciple like many of us. I trust that encourages you to know that the Lord can use you. Do you know that? He's not just looking to use Pastor Troutman because he's got degrees and he's got years of experience and all this. He wants to use me, but he also wants to use you. He wants to use you. He's going to give you opportunity, much like he gave here Ananias. Are you ready? Are you a disciple? Are you loyally attached to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he number one in your life? When it comes to adoration, when it comes to acknowledgement, when it comes to appreciation, when it comes to scheduling, would you be considered one who is devout? In God things, preoccupied with God, the Word. Do you have a good report? In other words, you're not a hypocrite. You're not living one life on your job and then being something else on a Sunday. You are a consistently godly Christian. Those are the qualities that are important for being ready to serve. And that's true for anybody. I look around the room, and that could mean if you've just been saved a few years or weeks or months, or if you've been saved for a long time, if you're a youngster, or if you're retired, if you're married, you're single, if you're going through trial right now, or you just came through a trial, every single one of us could put our place right here where Ananias is, and we could be like him. Would you be willing? Are you available? Are you ready? Would you take a moment and would you pray this way? Lord, help me this week to be an Ananias for whoever you bring into my path. Maybe there will be somebody who's discouraged. Maybe there's somebody seeking counsel. Look what he says next. You see, not only do we find him available for this ministry because he was the disciple, but he says, look at his response. Ananias answered, and he says, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." Now, really, the literal translation is, "Behold, it's me." He called him by name. Ananias recognizes, and he responds much like, say, Abraham does. "Abraham, Abraham, Lord, behold, here I am." Or a Jacob, or a Samuel, or Isaiah. Look throughout the scripture, those who made themselves available when the Lord came to them and wanted to use them, or wanted to give them a message, or wanted them to carry a message. You see, he's both attentive and sensitive to the Lord. He presents himself as a ready and willing servant. Now, we don't know how old he was. We don't know anything about him. All we know is the Lord singles him out and says, "Ananias, I got a ministry for you." What if the Lord would have a special ministry for you? A person that he would want you to go and help and disciple and encourage. You know, sometimes we can get so distracted we don't even hear the Lord. We can get so preoccupied in our own things that we don't even consider when the Lord may have something for us. Sometimes we get wrapped up in ourselves and what we want to do. I'll never forget, I was home from Bible college, middle of the semesters in the wintertime, and I just sat down to watch the Penn State football bowl game. I forget what year it was. It might have been 87, 88. And my brothers were away. I had the TV to myself. I'm ready to just relax and watch. And the phone rang. This is before caller ID and answer machines. And I picked up the phone. "Hello." Here was somebody I had worked with down at Lazarus Flowers just a couple of years ago before I went to Bible college. He says, "Dan, you're studying to be a minister, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "My sister's husband just died tragically this afternoon in a work-related accident. They were digging a ditch, and the ditch collapsed and it killed him. Would you go over and see my sister?" I had to do this. "Lord, here am I. Send me." That was before you could even get the replay of the football game later on. I mean, I don't even know if we had cable TV at this point. And so I had to make a quick decision. Which is more important? This football game? Or ministering to this dear young girl who was married probably not even 2 years. Actually, she lived just not too far, less than a mile away. I said, Bob, I'll be right over. I said, tell her I'm coming. I got there. Mom and Dad opened the door. I could see the grief on their faces. I saw as she sat in the living room, just broken. I went over to her, had my Bible. Now, here's a young lady who knew me prior to my dedication to the Lord, and now my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity to minister to her, pray with her. When I got back to college, we corresponded a number of times. But you know, folks, there may be somebody like that the Lord's going to put in your path. Are you ready? Are you willing? He says, behold, I am here. I pray that we are available. I pray that we are disciples. I pray that we are devout. I pray that our testimonies are solid. Number two, notice something else. He's not only available for ministry, but he's now provided with some detailed instructions. The Lord gets his attention. This is Jesus. I don't know if Ananias ever had any other contact with the Lord Jesus other than this. He's up in Damascus. He may have been one of those who fled from Jerusalem during the persecution. The Lord says to him, in pretty specific details, arise, go, street called Straight, house of Judas, Saul of Tarsus, he's praying. All right? So he's got this pretty detailed description. By the way, the street called Straight, there are some ruins that are remaining. It was about a 3-mile stretch. Went right down through the heart of the city. It was used for commerce and trade, all kind of other things. Today it's locally called the Street of Bazaars. So while he's given some detailed instructions, he's also got some work to do. He can't just plug in a GPS. Okay, Saul of Tarsus, Judas' house, street called Straight. Boom. Ah, I know exactly where it's at. That means he had to go and he had to ask. All right, do you know where the house of Judas is? This is a street called Straight, 3 miles. Yeah, it's down there. Okay, where? Well, you go past the third donkey and you cross over into the third bazaar stall and then you'd find him on the left-hand side going up the stairs. Oh, okay. Do you ever try to, you know, do that before GPS? You try to get instructions and somebody tells you a number of things, turn left here and then turn right there, normally by landmarks because the street signs aren't there. So you have to keep, maybe ask again. And if you're a man, that's an interesting thing, right? Because men don't ask for directions. So that means, I know it's comical, but it is true. But the other thing is true as well. Catch this for a moment. If he is making himself available to be used for service, he's got to pay attention to the instructions that are given him for service. I don't know if he wrote it down. Well, it's in a vision, so. Nevertheless, the detailed instructions are given. But then, also the Lord tells him this. Look at verse number 17, or verse 12. This is curious. And this Saul of Tarsus has seen in a vision. Now remember, what is eyesight condition right now? He's blind. He is physically unable to see. The Lord says, Ananias, he has seen you coming. Now what are you going to say to that? The Lord says, he's seen you coming. He sees you put his hands on him, and he sees you restoring his sight. What would you do in this kind of a situation? The other thing that's very important to consider about this man. He said, you're going to go in. He's praying. The word praying has the idea that he's communing with God. The term that is used here for prayer is literally translated to exchange toward. Hence, to interact by basically switching personal wishes of your own with the one to whom you're praying. Paul has 3 days where he's not able to see anything. He's led into the city, and what thing to do than to pray? I can't imagine what he might have been praying for, but I can conjecture. Because remember, on the road to Damascus, jump back a few verses. And it says in verse number 6, Paul, Saul, trembling and astonished, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said, arise, go into the city, it shall be told you. You know, there's no time indicators here. All he's told, go into the city and wait, and you'll be told. After the first day, after the second day, now approaching the third day. Can I ask you a question? What do you do when you know you have to wait for certain types of things? You have to wait for a doctor's appointment. You have to wait for a car repair. You have to wait for an appointment. Two things can happen. Waiting can either cause fretting and worrying and fear, or waiting can cause praying, seeking God, looking for His guidance and direction. You know what's interesting about the Apostle Paul? You chart his epistles and look what his prayer life was like. He was a man of prayer. I would say so. If you were struck and blinded and told to wait, and you were astonished and trembling, what better thing to do than to pray? How's your prayer life? Are we praying? I have to check myself on this. Because there are times when I need to pray, and I start, phone rings, or something interrupts. You know, Saul, at this point, was at a very unique spot. He couldn't go anywhere. What interruptions would he have? He couldn't see anything. And the only thing he did at this point was pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what's happening? Where am I going from here? Lord, am I going to see again? He didn't know any of that. Ananias is given this ministry task. He's available. He's got his instructions. You know something? You and I get instructions right here from His Word on sharing Christ and witnessing to people, encouraging people, and you get all kind of details on how to do that. What a blessing, amen? Look what happens next. Number 2, Ananias not only gets a specific assignment, but he gains needed assurance. I would say so. This is interesting. In verse number 13, Ananias answered, Lord, I don't know the tone of voice, but after getting this kind of instruction, I can imagine, Lord, I have heard many things of this man. You know, his answer to the Lord is, all right, Lord, I'll do it. His response is very human. He's apprehensive. Why? You want me to go to this man who is seeking me to take me back to Jerusalem where I might be killed. You want me to go to minister to someone who hates you. You want me to go and to help someone who is not helping the cause of Christ at all, but actually doing damage to the church, the ministry? My fellow believers have been imprisoned by this guy. You want me to go to him? That's essentially what he's asking. He said, I heard about him. That means he's not had any personal contact with Paul. He's just heard about this guy. And it may have been, hey, from Jerusalem, there's coming this zealous Pharisee. His name is Saul. He's looking to arrest Christians. He's got a warrant for our arrest. And by the way, along the way, he's actually imprisoned and he's convicted to killing them. We've got to be on guard. Oh, how bad is this guy? He's really bad. You want me to go to minister to him, Lord? He's an enemy of the cross. Notorious persecutor. No friend of Jesus. How would you respond if the Lord directed you to such a person like that? Maybe there's somebody in your family. They just mock you, ridicule you, laugh at you. They hate you. They hate your Savior. And the Lord lays on your heart the need to minister to them. What about a coworker who's always been antagonizing and aggravating towards you because of your Christ, your Savior? And they get into a bind, they get into a situation, they come to you and say, can I talk to you? You want to talk to me? You know, quickly our carnality can really take over, can it not? It's almost like, he's persecuted us. You want me to go to minister to him? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. Look what the Lord Jesus says in such situations. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44, Sermon on the Mount. True, real kingdom living of believers in Jesus Christ. Verse 43, actually. Jesus' very words. You have heard that it has been said, shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word perfect means complete. How do you become complete? Love your enemies. Now Jesus could have said this to him. Ananias is very hesitant. He's reluctant. I don't think he's unwilling. He would have just said, hey, no way, I'm not going. Why don't you pick somebody else? Kind of like a Moses, remember Moses? Lord, I can't speak. You send somebody else. He could have said, send Philip. Philip's had a great ministry. He's ready to go. The Lord's saying, in essence, I chose you. I make no mistakes. This is not a mission of failure. This is not sending you to your death. You've been my disciple. You've been devout. Got a good testimony. Now, go and serve. Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Notice what happens next. Not only is he apprehensive, but look what the Lord does. Get back to Acts chapter 9. Look what the Lord does here. He doesn't really address the apprehension as much. He doesn't even deal with this hesitation. He's just presented with additional information. But the Lord said unto him, go your way. Ananias could have said, wait a minute, did you not even hear me? Are you not even listening, Lord? Yeah, the Lord's listening. The Lord understands completely. You see, sometimes we get in those situations and we hesitate and we want the Lord to agree with us. And so Ananias might have said, oh, you know what? You're right. He's really notorious. He is so full of hatred. Ah, I'm so sorry I interrupted your schedule. The Lord's listening perfectly. He says, get up and go. Don't you just love it? He's full of hesitation. He's full of reluctance. And the Lord just says, get up and go. It's kind of like the birds in the nest. You ever see those situations? The little birds, they're hatched and they're fed. And then it's time for them to get out of the nest. How does the mother bird or the father bird help that bird to fly? All right, we're going to have our first flying lesson. No. All of a sudden, that bird gets nudged out of the nest. And the bird is flapping, and all of a sudden, the mother bird or the father bird sees what's going on, and sometimes they'll swoop down just at the last second and snatch them. Take them back up to the nest and do the same thing. You know why? Listen, catch this for a moment. Lord knows your human frailties, but he also knows the supernatural power he gives you to override those human frailties. Ananias, go. And then he says this, he, this one who has done much evil and has great authority, he's a chosen vessel unto me. It's very emphatic here. The Lord's not really addressing Ananias' hesitancy and reluctance as much as he is the mission and the purpose. Unto me he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The word vessel, interesting word, skenos. And it has the idea of skins. Wine skins. They would put the contents in there so that they would be then later on poured out. The reference here that Paul uses, and you can see the different places where he uses it, particularly in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, where he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He identifies himself just as Ananias is told by the Lord Jesus. Meaning, I am an instrument in his hands. I'm a tool. What a great illustration. And he says, he's my tool. He's my instrument to carry forth. He is going to bear the good news. He is going to bring the word of God to the Gentiles. Meaning, his main ministry is not to the Jews? No. You know what's also considered here? The Apostle Paul was well known among the Jews. He was well versed in all the Jewish scriptures. He knew all the Jewish contacts. He was a Pharisee. He had all the Jewish pedigree. And God says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. You know something? You may think you are suited for this particular ministry. God says, I got this for you. Are we willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do? Go wherever he wants us to go. That's Ananias right here. And the Lord hears his reluctance, but he says, arise and go. He's a chosen vessel unto me. It's all about me, Ananias, because your reluctance is really about you. And that's human. Because all of us have had times where we've been reluctant or hesitant. But the Lord intercedes and intervenes, actually. And he says, arise and go. You know why? It's for me. He's my vessel. And then he adds on top of this, for I will show him great things he must suffer for me. So Ananias says, he made a lot of people suffer. He's got these arrest warrants, and he's had a great a deterrent to the work. He's caused people to suffer through his persecution. Jesus says, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for me. Suffering? Yeah, how many of us like to suffer? Paul writes, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, excuse me, where he details the many different ways he was suffering. He was beaten 3 times with rods. He was beaten many other times. He was lashed 39 times on 5 occasions, or with 39 lashes on 5 occasions. By the way, 40 lashes was considered enough to kill you. Shipwrecked. He suffered for the Lord. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, and all that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. To the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, our suffering is kind of the token, the mark of our belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ and part of our entrance into the kingdom of God. So Ananias is told, now how would you like this? You're not only going to go to help him, but then you have to tell him, by the way, you're going to have to suffer a lot of things for the Lord. You talk about a ministry. You talk about a mission. By the way, do you know what happens here too? The omniscient Lord Jesus Christ is able to put aside all fears and all hesitations and any misgiving and any doubt. Now, since Ananias is a disciple, devout, good report, when the Lord reassures him and reaffirms all this, what does he do? Third point in closing, Ananias gives complete obedience. In closing just means at the last point. Okay. Verse 17. Ananias went his way. Don't you love this? The Lord tells him, arise, go. Ananias has some misgivings. The Lord says, arise, go. And the next thing you'll find is Ananias what? Arising and going. That's obedience. You see, he is faithful as a submissive servant. From reluctant hesitation to confident obedience. By the way, do you act in faith when the Lord reassures you? When you're looking for some real confidence and you're really looking to have some persuasion and to really be assured and he gives it to you, what do you do next? You act. I think our Lord is in the assuring business, don't you think? He's in the convincing business. Because you and I, we oftentimes lack faith and confidence. We doubt. We hesitate. He arises and he goes. By the way, the Lord may call you and may direct you and may want you to minister to someone. Even if you don't want to. Husbands. Your wife comes home, she's got something on her mind and schedule, and you've got something else you'd like to do. Do you give that up so you can be there for her? Wives, there are times, husbands, they may be going through something as well, and they just need you to be there. Are you? Parents with your children. I tell the story at times, I call my mother on the phone, want to just chat with her. And trying to be the time saver and a good steward, I multitask. She could hear in the background. Until she finally said, Daniel, are you listening to me? What are you doing? Do you want me to call you back? Oh, yeah. You know something about ministry? You have to be selfless. That means the other person has to be more important in that time and place of ministry God gives you than yourself, your convenience, your schedule, or whatever you're doing. Even if it's a bowl game on television. I trust and pray we've ordered our priorities. Because this week, just because this message is being preached, this week you may have that opportunity and you may have a conflict. I want to do this, but this person needs that. This phone call, I see caller ID, I know what they're going to, the message on the machine, I got to call that person back. Or, Lord may put somebody on your heart. Just happened a few weeks ago. Somebody was on my heart and mine. I started praying. I've learned a long time ago, if somebody is put onto your mind or you wake up and somebody's in your thoughts, you know, you pray for that person. That Thursday, I sent a text. Hey, do you mind if I stop by this afternoon just to see how you're doing? I get there. Pastor, you wouldn't believe. I've been thinking about and praying about a situation. And here you are. I say, that's the Lord. Is that you? Lord going to do that. He does that because we're a body of believers. We're connected together. But we may miss opportunities if we're more focused on ourselves and our schedules and our priorities than we are on other people. Now, mind you, there's a big difference between the urgent and the important. There are times where you may have to not answer the phone. I've done this with my wife a lot of times. We're on a date night, and just me and her. And the phone rings or something. I think, I have to put it aside. Unless there's bloodshed or near death, it's me and her. So here we find he's faithful. And he comes, he finds the house. Verse 17, and putting his hands on him, just like the Lord said, brother Saul. In essence, he doesn't say, you Pharisaical wicked man, the Lord sent me here to change your ways. I hope you straighten out. Man, this is a tough ministry. But I'm doing it anyway because I really love you. Not that way. He comes in, and I don't know if he was announced, but he comes in, puts a hand on him, the touch. Somebody's here. And the voice, brother Saul. After 3 days, Ananias comes just like he said, the Lord said he would. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto you in the way it came, he sent me. So you have this connection. The Lord that you saw, the Lord that I heard from, he has sent me to you so that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know the tone of voice or the expressions or anything else, but you don't find any further hesitation. As soon as the Lord said, arise and go, ba-boom, ba-boom, he went, he found him, and all of a sudden, ministry, mission accomplished. He's faithful. He's submissive. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. May I ask you a question? Are you fulfilling his will? Doing his work, obeying his word, as he says. You know, those are some pretty specific instructions, and he didn't deviate. He said, well, you know what? How about if I go and I will just write a note and send it to him? How about if I stand outside the house and maybe I get one of those long extensions and put my hand on him? Nope. The exact ministry instruction is what he did. God's looking for faithful obedience. Last point here. He's not only faithful as a submissive servant, but he's also involved in the discipleship process. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. He received his sight forthwith, and he arose and he was baptized. The blessing here. Now, catch, look at this. Ananias, first reluctant, hesitant, now confident and obedient, he gets to see the fruit and the blessing and the benefit of his obedience. He gets to be a participant. And his name is forever etched in Holy Scripture, even though only appearing in the Scripture one time, he's forever remembered as being instrumental in helping Paul to receive his sight, be filled with the Spirit, get baptized, and to minister together with all the disciples. Says, as scales that fell from his eyes. In other words, Paul here didn't need therapy. It was an instantaneous sight recovery. No glasses necessary. And the healing power was not Ananias. The healing power came through the Lord Jesus Christ, who took his sight, gave it right back to him 3 days later. But in the meantime, there was a lesson to learn. That's a whole different sermon. It says after he ate, now that he got his sight, he sat down, he ate. And look, oh, by the way, he was baptized. It's interesting how baptism after conversion is found throughout the book of Acts. And that's why, once again, I say, here is the Apostle Paul. I don't know who baptized him, maybe Ananias. Somebody else, I'm sure they had some semblance of a church that was starting there. And he gets baptized. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what the people might have thought? Hey, who is this guy? This is that Saul guy? Did he really get saved? I don't know. Is he really one of us? That's going to come up next week. He gets baptized. Hey, by the way, if you're here and you're saved, don't wait. Get baptized. Demonstrate to others that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow through in obedience, because that's exactly what part of the Great Commission is, where he said Jesus came and spoke unto them and said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, into the earth. You know who was with Ananias right here to accomplish all this? The Lord Jesus. When he sends you on a mission, he gives you ministry, he's right there with you. Actually, in you. The Holy Spirit. And then he was with the disciples. The word with or was is a becoming, accompanying the disciples. The ones he sought to persecute are the ones that he's now enjoying sweet fellowship. Imagine the rejoicing that must have been among the disciples. The arrest warrants tore it up. Being put into binding chains and ropes and paraded back, frog marched all the way back to Jerusalem. Gone. I wonder what happened to the men who were with him when the light shined. They heard a voice, but they couldn't recognize and understand the speaking. I wonder what took place and how this spread so he could fellowship with disciples. All that is coming up, but all I know is this. Number one, if Ananias would not have been sensitive and attentive to the Lord's working, he probably would have chose somebody else. Or maybe it wouldn't have happened. If Ananias would not have been a submissive, obedient servant with faith and trust. So as much as this whole narrative is for Saul, Paul, it's as much for Ananias and you and me. Are you involved in fulfilling the Great Commission, in sharing the gospel, in ministering to people, and helping them to realize they need to be baptized and be a part of a church? Closing paragraph. You may find yourself being like the newly converted sinner or like the divinely assigned disciple. In either case, there must be a willingness to yield yourself fully as an instrument in his hands, a minister for his cause. Like Ananias, you may be given an opportunity to minister to someone about whom you really have some serious doubts or reservations. So when and while you may want to ask, really, Lord, are you sure? You may and you will find him answering, trust me, I am sure. Now go. Heavenly Father, thank you in Jesus' name for the very privilege we have to hear of this wonderful episode in the life of the church and the life of Paul, life of Ananias. And Lord, we know that we can put ourselves in any one of their sandals. And this week we may very well meet and have opportunity to be an Ananias. Help us to be ready. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe you're sitting here and say, you know what? if the Lord would have me to minister to someone this week in such an encouraging or discipling manner, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I consider myself like an Ananias, but I know this, I could be. Would you pray with me so that I would be ready, willing, available? Pastor, pray for me. There's my hand. Just lift it up, put it right back down. Pastor, that's me. Yes, yes, all over. Yes, yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Maybe you're here and say, you know what? I couldn't be because I'm not yet saved. I don't have a confident assurance. I'm on my way to heaven. I need your prayer, Pastor, to be saved. My prayer won't save you, but I'd sure love to help you to know Jesus Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt before it's eternally too late. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Here's my hand. Just lift it up, put it right back down. Pastor, I need to be saved. Father, you see our hands, you know our hearts. Just like you knew Ananias was going to come, so also do you know who's going to come into our paths. God, help every single one of us to be ready and available, sensitive to your leading and your working, ready to minister, to make disciples. Oh God, help us. We need it. Especially praying for these lifting hands. Heighten that sensitivity. Elevate that availability. And Lord, help them to further prepare for ministry opportunities. We'll pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.